Hello, everyone. Happy Wednesday, or whatever day it is that you're listening to this brand new episode of your favorite podcast on the entire planet, Drama with Connor and Dylan McDowell. This is Connor speaking. Thank you so much for joining us. Before we get into this week's brand new episode with Helen J. Shen from Maybe Happy Ending, I want to tell you that we've got other episodes of Drama that you haven't heard yet. That's right, there's even more. There's even more theater, pop culture, love, life, and your favorite twins at our Patreon, which we so lovingly call Drama Plus, where for $5 a month, you get access to a couple bonus episodes where we chit chat away about all the juicy hot goss, current events, and we really do delve into our personal lives more there. But also, another great perk of becoming a Drama Plus family member is getting added to the close friends on Instagram. And you also just support us, which we need and love. We love you guys. So get ready for this week's brand new episode. Go to patreon.com/thedramapodcast to become a member of Drama Plus. Again, $5 a month. Our 5-year anniversary is coming up. So I don't know. It could be a fun way to celebrate with us. And tell all your friends about Drama. Follow us everywhere. Leave great reviews. Mwah. We love you. Enjoy the show.
Press play. Curtain up and now we're in. It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea
to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book?
Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell.
Dylan, how are you this evening? And you know, an evening pod vibe can be so different than a morning or a midday or a weekend, you know?
I know. I'm good. I don't like evening if it's a wintertime recording, but I don't mind it because it's a fall. I know that's such a strange thing, but after years of doing this, I actually feel energized and awake. Whereas, like, if it was wintertime, I might be like a little bit sleepier after a day of working, but.
Oh my God, I had plans last night, which was a Monday night, and I had to leave my apartment like around 7-ish. The sun had already set. I had a fall candle burning. The lighting was dim. I was like, no, I don't want to go. I can't. I'm forcing myself to leave home. It's too cozy. I love the fall.
I know. We're gearing up. The Broadway season is in full swing at this point, but there's been some changes and things that are going on that I need to talk to you about. Okay.
All right, let me have it.
By the time this podcast comes out, there have been some changes, some personnel changes over at the Notebook, and we need to just talk about it real quick here.
Well, it's all everyone's been speculating about for months on end.
And I have to say, we had the pleasure of having Joy Woods on Drama at the end of the summer, and the rumors were trickling, but
They were.
out of respect, we did not say a thing.
Well, because we had gotten a scoop, right? The day before we recorded with Joy, we got this scoop. They were like, "Oh, Joy is doing Gypsy. It's happening." And so we were like, "Oh my God, is this legit? Like, are we obviously we're gonna not mention it because that's
Right. Why would
you
we
know,
put her in
we
that position? But
no.
all of Twitter seemed to want to.
Oh, all of
And
Twitter did. Oh my God.
I think she got a little frustrated because I think she's like, I can't say anything. I can't say
Well,
anything,
because
you know?
it's such an exciting moment for her that I feel like the excitement kind of got swept out of our. I don't know the right expression for it,
That's because
but
no one can keep a secret, you know? But I will
no.
also say, if anyone who goes back and listens to our chat, listen to see if there's any vagueness around when she says what she wants to do next. She's like, I want to dance. I want to, so you know what?
Oh,
So maybe
I
she was
remember that.
hinting gently, maybe gently, you
I
know?
remember that too. Well, and we were like, if she's doing Gypsy, she's probably dropping out of ragtime.
Right,
So should
right.
we like still ask for ragtime? And we
And we
did.
did.
And
We did.
she talked about how excited she was for it.
She
So
was
if
lovely.
whether or not she knew at the time is hilarious, but cannot wait to see her and Jordan in Gypsy. I'm kind
Yes.
of obsessed with them like doing one show one season together and another show the next season
I
together.
know.
This time
It's
is
probably in the, it's going to be in their
sisters.
contract after a while.
I know. Oh my God, I cannot wait.
But I also want to mention when I said personnel changes, so Joy is leaving, but OG friend of drama, Aisha Jackson, is going to be
Yes.
replacing her. And I am so excited.
I can't wait. I guess I have to go back to the notebook before it closes. I mean,
I guess so.
twist my arm. But I know I can't wait. I seriously, like, yeah.
Yeah.
John Cardoza is going to be in Moulin Rouge.
I know. So many exciting things happening.
The casting is like beyond. It just makes me want to go see every single show again and again and again. So these producers are obviously smart.
Totally. October is bringing a lot of exciting things, including previews for a new Broadway musical. And we have one of the stars with us today.
Oh my God.
I want to just jump right in. And I have to just say, I mentioned this off pod, but our guest complimented me on my once poster. And I am putting it as a litmus test from now on. If the pod is going to go well, I'll know immediately because they compliment the poster.
That's fun,
Taste.
Dylan.
That's taste right there. Our guest today is having their moment. They're about to make an iconic Broadway debut opposite Darren Criss in Maybe Happy Ending at the Belasco Theater. Lucky New York audiences recently saw her off-Broadway in MCC Theater's The Lonely Few by Zoe Sarnak and Rachel Bonds, performing in a role they also took on in the musical's world premiere at the Geffen Playhouse. She also slayed in the Playwrights Horizons production of Teeth, written by Anna K. Jacobs and Michael R. Jackson. Regionally, they starred in Man of God at the Williamstown Theater Festival and as Betty Schaefer in Sunset Boulevard at ACT of Connecticut. Our guest earned a BFA in musical theater from the University of Michigan, receiving the esteemed Earl V. Moore Award, and also debuted their solo show at 54 Below entitled Shell Shocked. We're so gagged to have this star on the podcast today. Please welcome to drama,
Helen
Helen J.
J.
Shen.
Hi.
Hey, Helen, what's up?
nothing much. It's so glorious to be speaking to y'all.
Oh, the pleasure is ours.
We're so excited to meet you. And I have to say, cannot wait for Maybe Happy Ending. Oh my God. You're fresh out of a rehearsal as of an hour ago.
Yes. I'm so excited for people to see it. It's so hard to explain to my friends right now because they're asking me how I'm doing and I'm like, oh, I mean we've been talking about the automation and we're talking about this scene and I'm trying not to spoil as much as I can, but it's so exciting and we're all gooped and gagged whenever we get to talking about how the mechanics are going to work. It's a very technical show, but the heart of it is so pure and gorgeous. So it's like playing with both of those worlds.
Oh my goodness. I have so many questions. Well, that's why like the performances were delayed a little bit because this set is going to be very intricate and technologically advanced.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Aside from like the subject matter of it being robots, we have this new technology that we're debuting on a Broadway stage called, has a bunch of different names, but it's like called a Chiron or a hollow gauze or a pepper scrim, I've heard it called. It's this like
Love
special new
that.
scrim that we're using. It's insane. It's
I
amazing.
like pepper scrim.
Me
I think
too.
that's fun.
Me too.
Oh my
Little
God, I have so many
cuter.
questions.
Yeah. Oh, it's so cute. It's so cute.
I cannot wait to get into all of it. But before we dive into everything else, we do like to check in with our guests. We got to meet you where you're at. Helen, are you well?
I am doing well. I am well. I'm so grateful and filling my like artistic cup every day. I couldn't be more grateful for where I am at. Yeah. Thanks for asking.
I know you were like, when people ask you how you're doing, it's like there's so much going on at once, right?
Yes, it's very overwhelming. I think like from going from those two shows that you mentioned before into this one right after, it's just been such a like wave of amazing blessings coming my way. So yeah, super overwhelming, but the best.
So what was the, your schedule this year like then? Was it Lonely Few, then Teeth, or Teeth then?
Teeth, then I overlapped with rehearsals and performances with Lonely Few. And that was also during that overlapped time was when I found out that I was going to do Maybe Happy Ending.
Oh my
Crazy.
God.
Insane.
That's so
But I
crazy.
did have like 4 months-ish in between the end of Lonely Few to now.
Okay. I
remember because I visited New York right as y'all closed, and I'm so sad I missed it. Incredible cast, on stage seating or something like that was going on.
Yeah, it was a sort of immersive. We liked to hesitate using the word immersive, but yeah, on stage seating, we wanted to run through Pride so much, but timing just wasn't, it just wasn't with us at that time.
Was it a queer show in a way?
Yeah, it was a love story between two femme people, and it was gorgeous and amazing.
Was it a musical or a play?
Musical.
Lauren Patton was a part of it, if I remember the cast.
Lauren Patton, Taylor Yvonne Jones, Damon Dono.
Oh my Helen J. Shen.
Don't forget.
Yeah. And you did it at, is it the Geffen? That's in California, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, how far away, like in timeline, was that from this New York run?
It was like a year. So we got to LA in January and did it until May, and then started rehearsals, I think, for this production around like February-ish. So it was like definitely a year to the New York.
What was your character?
My character was JJ. She played the keys and the harmonica and the tambourine. And I learned the harmonica for the role, which was so fun. Very difficult. Way harder than you think it's going to be. But like such a fun kind of, I don't know. I always thought that she was like a gremlin character, like coming in to like stir things up and then leave. So fun. Like it was so great, which is so... It's really amazing how opposite those characters are from Claire, who I'm going to be playing in Maybe Happy Ending, because it's just so like night and day for vocal stylings, for character choices. Yeah, couldn't be more different. But I guess the only thing that is the connective tissue of it is that my gremlininess, my natural gremlin, I suppose, comes through in Claire, which I think is what makes it fun.
I'm obsessed natural with, gremlin.
I'm obsessed with that.
Are we talking like Gizmo, like from Gremlins the movie, gremlin vibes?
Yeah, like... yeah. Like some kind of weird impish puck character.
Ooh,
that's kind
okay.
of like, that's kind of what I was giving.
I was almost going to be like Darla from Finding Nemo. And then I was like, no, like Darla's not a gremlin, just gremlin attitude at times. But
more so the starfish of that,
oh, okay,
of that
okay.
gang.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the B plot that was going on at the dentist's
yes.
office. Yeah.
Correct.
Oh, how fun. Dylan, wow, you pulling Darla from your brain. Amazing, Dylan.
My fiance is like a music director, actor type, currently directing a production of Finding Nemo Kids.
Oh. That's my dad. I'm not alone.
It's so yeah. good. It's so
okay, I'm sobbing. I'll never forget seeing that at Disney World when we went on like a high school band trip.
Did you get to see the extended version or the one that now is there, which is cut?
It was lengthy. It was extended. It had, yeah.
We had to convince our friends to sit through it. They're like, we want to ride Mount Everest or Expedition Everest. We were like, we'll get to it.
But go with the flow. Come on. Come on.
Oh, you're warm today. Huh? You've been singing in rehearsal.
Well, I've been singing all day. I've been singing.
I just remember being like, wow, there's like earworms in this. I've seen this show one time and I'm like, in the big blue world, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
So good.
Mm-hmm. It's really so good.
Fabulous, fabulous show.
Anyways, all of Nemo aside, gremlin vibes. And also, when you mentioned Once now, and not to mention it for like a third time, it sounds like The Lonely Few had some Once vibe. Artist, musician thing going on.
Totally. We were a band on stage. And so every night we would play certain songs live, which was so exciting. I'd never been in a band before. It brought a kind of connectivity to the cast that already a cast is so like, we have to make this live with each other, but then to actually have to play music and have it make sense without a pit band, which we also had a very talented and amazing pit band with us, but to do it just with the instruments that were on stage, like it was kind of alive and kind of scary because we had to do our part. Otherwise the song wasn't going to happen. So
yeah,
it was really exciting.
You said you play keyboard too.
Yes. So Girl in Once is, if the theater gods are out there, I'm putting it out into the universe.
That would be amazing. We're due for a production, a professional production in New York.
I think so.
Okay, so then Teeth, which, I mean, I am still obsessed with, but talk about a show that knocked my socks off. When did you join Teeth?
I joined Teeth. They did a workshop of it before I went to LA for Lonely Few. So I did like 3 weeks workshop with that and then came with it to Playwrights. Unfortunately, I'm unavailable for this next production, but I have so much love for everybody in that cast. And like, I've seen them recently, especially post press day. And like, it's nice to know that this show that I love so much has a second life and I get to sit in the splash zone, which is so yes. exciting because I would watch on stage, would watch people not know that the first three rows are a splash zone and then find out, oh, there's prop blood on my clothes today. So much fun. Just the best time.
Yeah. Dylan, I don't think Dylan knew that because Dylan didn't get a chance to see Teeth.
I read about it because they posted like about buying tickets in that section. And I saw they're also opening on Halloween, which feels appropriate.
Iconic. Dylan, I don't even know how much you know about the show, but I went into it basically knowing nothing.
Nothing. I don't know anything.
Oh my God. It was one of my favorite things I saw last season. Just crazy. It was so good. What was your favorite part, like scene in Teeth? I guess we'll get into potential spoiler territory here, but...
So many. I mean, the ending is so good. It's a number called Dentata. It's like the 7-minute mega number where one could say all hell breaks loose. Yeah. I think that actually would be rather appropriate to say. yeah, it was, it's a moment that like stops the show, and that classic moment where the button and then people are breathing really hard. It was exactly that moment, but it's like kind of, there's a whiteout to the audience too that Sarah Benson geniusly did, so that we could see faces of the audience who are like taking in this number, and then the button happens and then their faces are lit up. So we got to see them see us, and it was like a moment of, we're all in this building taking in this story, and we have taken y'all hostage, and now let's end this play. It was, yeah, they're the best.
Oh my goodness.
It's thrilling. Like Dylan, it's beyond.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. I want to kind of like go to your earlier days. We talk about the Ring of Keys moment with all of our guests, this moment that you realized a life in the arts was going to be for you. Do you feel like you have, of course, it's inspired from a song in Fun Home, but do you have a moment that you feel like was thing that dragged you into the arts forever?
I think two of them are popping out to me right now. The first one was in preschool. We were doing one would call it a staged reading of The Rainbow Fish, but at the time it was just, we were on our feet and doing The Rainbow Fish, and I played the titular Rainbow Fish, and that bug was planted within my skin, I guess. But I will say, like, going into like my professional life, I think when I was at school at the University of Michigan, I crewed a production of Passing Strange that was directed by Tiffany Rochelle Stewart. And I was literally on crew for this practicum that I had to do for school. But every time that I saw it, I wept like a baby. It was this devised piece. All of the cast came together to add their own bits to the piece and bring their own individuality to the piece. And for those who don't know, Passing Strange is a very, like, you think that it's a show about stew, which it is. And so one might not think that it can happen outside of the context of these very specific people doing the show. But actually, it became such a universal story of just, like, wanting to know what is real. And I just was so moved by that story and so moved by that thought, and just how these young people who my peers were making this really gorgeous piece together. And I was like, oh my, I always thought that where I was and what I wanted to do was so far. And this was the first moment that I was like, I feel like I'm doing it, or I'm so close to it. And knowing that I was so close to it just was like, well, now I can't give up now.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine that was transformative, like watching from like a close proximity to it all. But Michigan has such an incredible theater program in general. Did you have a good experience there?
I did. I met such amazing, amazing people, like also some of the most talented people. And forget about within the musical theater department alone, like Michigan is huge. It's got an amazing jazz program, an amazing opera program, and theater program at large. Like Darren Criss is an alum of the theater program.
Okay.
So yeah, like the world of it was such a microcosm, but we were all exposed to such different thoughts, like such different like walks of life and different backgrounds and stuff. And I felt very like, I was learning from so many people, not just my professors. I was learning from the whole experience.
That's so cool.
I remembered that Darren was Michigan, because that's where the Harry Potter musical and that troupe was born, right? You know?
Correct. Correct.
Team Star Kid or something.
We get to claim that one. We get
yeah.
The Harry Potter musical.
It's tough for us because we did go to the Ohio State University in Columbus, Ohio. It's one of those rivalries that I don't care that much about.
I know we always mention it because we've had so many guests. There's so many amazing performers in New York that went to Michigan. They're always like, oh, I didn't care about that at all. Like,
the game's always fun.
I went to the tailgates. I went to the games. But, you know, if they lost, if they won, it wasn't going to ruin or make my day.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's all
exactly. Were there any performing highlights that you had while at U of M?
Dogfight. My senior year, I did a student-run production of Dogfight. And yeah, it was also coming out of the pandemic, because the pandemic hit during my sophomore year. So we were still opening back up and still, you know, figuring out how to do something that requires being in person remotely. And it was my senior year. So we were starting to open back up, and we got to get permission to do it without masks with certain parameters outside of that. So it was, yeah, a moment of big transformation, and Oh, and also we did a production of Hair, which was
Oh,
so
fun.
fun. I feel like Hair in undergrad is just, you got to do it. You have
Rite of
to.
passage.
Rite of passage. I was Chrissy, so I sang Frank Mills.
I can see it.
Oh, I can hear
The
it. Is this on YouTube anywhere?
bootleg is locked in the vault.
I understand. I understand.
Slime tutorial coming later. Don't worry about it.
Slime tutorial really came out of the blue. I mean, I don't know when that we used to just call them boots back in my day or
Yeah.
bootlegs, you know?
Bootlegs. Bootlegs.
Is it like a
It
YouTube
might be.
keyword thing, slime tutorial?
Yeah, I don't know. Wait, I'm trying to think, like, if that was your era at Michigan, who else would have been in your class that's like killing it in New York now, or otherwise still waiting for their moment?
Yeah, Maya Boyd was 2 years younger than me, and she's
Yeah.
now Juliet and Anjuliet.
Blake Roman, was he a little bit older, maybe?
Blake Roman and Mackenzie Kurtz and Emily
Okay.
Kwachu were all in the same class, so it's like, whoa!
Okay.
They were our
Okay.
seniors when we were freshmen. Special place in the heart.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Oh my God. Seniors were always like legendary. The senior to freshman dynamic could be so pivotal. Did COVID kind of like ruin your college experience, or did you guys make the best of it?
I mean, what else did I know? You know what I mean? I didn't know any different. Like, so my junior year, I didn't know another kind of junior year. I will say, I like of the classes that the pandemic were like really hitting for us, I think our class got maybe, I hesitate to say this, but maybe the least egregious of it, because we definitely had a freshman year that was unencumbered. And then we did have an in-person showcase senior year, so like, if it was going to hit, it was an okay time, and we kind of made it work. I ended up getting a musical theater composition degree because I was like, I don't really want to go to in-person dance. I don't feel really comfortable. So what I can do is sit on Zoom and write songs. So that's what I did, and I got a minor in it.
Oh my gosh, do you still write?
I do still write. I write for myself. I think I learned a lot of amazing skills about how to notate, about how to pick spots for songs, and like learned a lot about structure and storytelling with that degree. I think it feels a lot, I don't know, I think I feel a little bit more pressure to create something and be like, yeah, this is the new musical that I'm working on. And I kind of rub up against that kind of pressure, and I like
Sure.
writing for myself and just like writing for writing's sake.
Yeah,
absolutely.
for sure. When did you meet Andrew?
We met doing a production of Sweet Charity at Mark Tuminelli's Broadway Workshop. So I'm
Yeah.
from New Jersey, he's from Long Island. So we met in Manhattan to do this production of Sweet Charity. We were in different casts. We were just friends at the time and continued to be. I went to school. He became the youngest Evan Hansen, Taylor's old time.
No big
And
deal. No big deal.
no, MBD. And then the pandemic hit. And suddenly he started this Zoom where a bunch of his friends and whatever could come. And if you wanted to congregate and talk until 5 a.m., it was just the depths of it where we were all very isolated. And suddenly Andrew and I found ourselves talking to each other until like 5 a.m. every day. And we haven't stopped since. I need sleep.
Obviously, you got to see him in Little Shop, right?
Four times,
Oh.
five times. He is amazing. He's amazing. And what's amazing about him in that role is he's known that this is a role that he's wanted to do for as long as he can remember. A huge role model in his life is Rob McClure. And so when he saw Rob's Seymour, he was just so inspired by Rob's performance. And I think since then had been brewing up his own Seymour. And I think like to watch him get to develop it over this whole summer has been so glorious to watch him. He's so great with Sarah Hyland too. They're just really, really good together. And the show is perfect.
Oh,
It's a
yeah.
perfect
It
musical.
kind of is, isn't it? I know. Were they celebrating 5 years of Little Shop? That's why they were performing in the street?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
When that clip went out, of course, I know Andrew's amazing, but I sent Dylan the clip of Sarah singing. And I was like, oh, she's singing down. Like, who knew? I mean, I knew she could sing, but she gagged me a little.
She went to PPAS. She went to a performing arts school in New York.
Oh, my
So, like, she's a
God.
theater girly through and through.
Yeah.
Helen, actually, she also did a production of Hair. She did Hair at the Hollywood Bowl, if I'm remembering correctly.
She was Chrissy in the Hollywood Bowl hair. I think so. Yeah.
Would you want to do Little Shop with Andrew?
I would love to do Little Shop with Andrew. Theater gods, theater gods.
You have an exciting next month coming up. You're in rehearsals now. I want to hear all about Maybe Happy Ending. What I love is that it's an original new musical opening on Broadway.
Yes.
And it's a love story. So I'm excited about this.
Yeah.
You're the star. Maybe Happy Ending. Yeah.
Literally the
Your name is on
star.
the marquee in a huge way at the Belasco Theater. What can you tell us about this show?
Yes. So Maybe Happy Ending is about two humanoid, human-looking, human-like robots who are called helper bots in our universe. And at the start of our show, they live in this place called the Helper Bot Yards, which is essentially like a retirement home for out of date robots. So Claire, I play Claire, and she is a Helper Bot 5, as opposed to Darren plays Oliver, who's a Helper Bot 3. So there's already kind of a discrepancy, different models and the capacities to understand nuance and sarcasm and different kinds of humor, mechanics, like the physicality is a little bit different. So they're kind of at odds at the beginning. They go on a little road trip. Some things happen. We learn a lot about them through kind of some flashback moments. And I have found that that's interesting to kind of understand humanity through this kind of like separate metaphor. So, they have mortality, they have a shelf life. And what's more human than us wondering when we're going to perish? I think that's a very human concept. And another thing is just that they're always learning. And I think that that's also a very human concept of they learn so much about life through their owners or what other robots have taught them or what humans have taught them. So they're always trying to like mimic humans and mimic what they think is human-like. But, there's certain limitations to that. There's a little like what happens when time is running out kind of thing. Like, do you still choose to love? Feel like there might be pain or loss on the end. Do we do it anyway? That's the kind of main question of the show. While also thinly veiled as like a rom-com. It's really like kitschy and we're doing so many fun like doors and lotsying and there's like it's we're laughing so hard too, along with crying so hard. Like it's really dynamic emotional roller coaster you go on.
It sounds beautiful. I think the marketing is nailing it in that way. Like, I'm getting the vibe that you're going to feel, it's going to feel everything kind of show. The music, by the way, I listened to some of the preview tracks that are on the website. Gorgeous, unique. You know, there's like sometimes that theater sound, and then there's other times like something that you hear that you feel is very special and new. And I feel like that's what is being accomplished here with Maybe Happy Ending.
I'm so glad you think that because I think that, but I can't tell if I'm too close to it. I can't genuinely, I'm like, I mean, I love the music. I love to sing it, but I can't tell if I just love to sing it,
Right.
So yes, it's heavily influenced with jazz. Will Aronson and Hugh Park have such a great sensibility of like these theater songs are such like well-written theater songs. Well, this is also me having a composition minor too, where I'm like, the rhymes are perfect, the scansion is perfect. Like I nerd out about it in rehearsal all the time. And yeah, like the sound of the sweeping, we have I think a 10-piece orchestra,
Ooh.
strings, reeds, so sweeping and beautiful and glorious. And it's just a joy to sing and joy to listen to and be a part of.
Now,
Yeah.
were you a Darren Criss Glee fan back in the day?
Of course. Of course.
Who wasn't? Who
Who
wasn't,
isn't? Of course. One had to educate themselves. Like Glee along with Smash. That was very much like my theater TV upbringing. And
Oh,
Darren
yeah.
in the Warblers was just iconic. He's
Oh.
iconic. Teenage Dream is iconic.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say, Teenage Dream was everything.
His covers were sometimes better than the original. I'll go out right out there and say that.
You can say that. I'd
Yeah.
agree.
What has it been like working with him so far?
He's great. It's been really wonderful. Like we got to film a music video of the song When You're in Love, like right when I found out that I got it, which was like months before we had done any like character work or any table work or anything like that. But already Darren was so like just kind and generous and very much like has been since then, I think, a huge proponent of like you can take up space and you can ask your questions and we are both sitting next to each other taking notes and being like, Michael Arden is amazing. We can't believe the things that we're being, just the nuggets of information that Michael's able to give us. Both of us are just like eating it up so much. And yeah, it's nice to have a partner in that. It's a 4-person cast, and most of the time is Darren and myself on stage. So it's really nice to know that I can like count on him, and vice versa. Like, it's nice to know that I am responsible also for like making sure that his job is easier, if that makes sense. Like, it feels like we're in this together for sure.
Yeah. I feel like if I were like in a cast with him, I'd be like waiting for him to spill a little glee tea or like talk about like, you know, filming the Versace show or something. I'd be freaking out. Like, he's been in so many of my favorite things.
I know. I love that Versace show. That was honestly, I was a little more starstruck than Glee actually, because that performance was amazing. But yeah, he has spilled the thing about him is his spilling is like, I have nothing bad to say about any of the cast. So if that's what you're looking for, I have nothing to say.
Yeah. So, I've heard him say that in interviews too. I know. He seems like a lovely guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who are the other actors in the show?
We have Marcus Choi, who plays James and others. He's kind of it's really not a good comparison, but he plays multiple characters in the same way that Oren Scrivello plays a bunch of different characters in Little Shops, and it's used very well. It's used very intentionally. He's not just like also a tree, and also he's very intentionally these other characters, and he's brilliant. And then Des Durand plays Gil Brentley, a 50s jazz singer. And so we have this like dichotomy of future aesthetics and all of this stuff, and then like the 50s, and a very analog kind of world that we also embody via the records that Oliver loves to play.
Wow. As you're talking about this show, I feel like a universe has really been built in the story. And that really excites me. It almost sounds like something you'd read in like a young adult fiction novel or something, which I'm obsessed with, obviously. And I can't wait to find out. Like, I'm wanting to ask you plot questions, but I don't want to spoil the show.
Yeah, no spoilers on drama.
No spoilers, no spoilers. But I'm wondering if we're going to find out like, how long has Claire been at the Helper Bot's retirement home? Like, how long do we stay at the retirement home? Like, does she know, you know, this is the end kind of thing?
Yeah, that I can say, like, it's been like 10 years. It's been 12 years. So like there is the lore about it. It runs so deep. They've done productions of it that have done really well in Seoul and Asia at large. And so it's been this production, or at least this show, maybe Happy Ending, has been done up on its feet and workshopped and done for like 10, 13 years. It's had such a long time to gestate that now we're able to kind of like do what would feel right for this time. And it feels solid, like all of the world building and the lore and stuff, it's all there. And we just are like, yeah, Will, how long do you think that this is here? Hugh, how long do you think that Oliver's been here? And they have these answers because they've been developing it for so long, but it feels fresh and it feels timely. It's so weird. It just still feels like it was written yesterday.
Yeah,
it sounds brilliant. Is this Michael Arden's first time working with the musical, or was he a part of any prior productions?
He was a part of the production that happened in Atlanta that Darren and I were not a part of.
Okay. He's lived in that world for a little while too.
He's some time with it as well. That's yeah. Brilliant. And his whole team too.
I think this is his first original Broadway musical he's directing, right? He's done revivals otherwise, I think.
For Broadway.
The Queen of Versailles, Broadway Bound. Yeah. And he...
Broadway Bound.
Yes.
Broadway Bound. Did you get to see it this summer?
I didn't get to see it.
I know. I'm sad I missed that.
My friend Nina White was in it, and I heard she was amazing.
Nina from Kimberly Akimbo?
Correct. The one, the only.
Little legend. I know. I really wanted to get out to Boston to see that and The Gatsby and American Myth. You know,
I heard there was a very busy weekend that everyone had that same idea to just do the double feature where it kind of overlapped.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
You're probably not in the theater yet, but Darren obviously has performed there before in Hedwig.
Yes.
So that's kind of a homecoming for him as well.
It is.
Isn't the Belasco haunted?
It is. It is haunted. Oh, the Belasco is so beautiful. During my lunch break, I went to visit it. Had to put a hard hat on because things are still happening above. Uh-huh. But it's so gorgeous. Like, it's such an ornate jewelry box of a theater. But it's also so vertical. It's just so gorgeous. It's a gorgeous theater. And it feels wonderful that Darren knows his way around the building, and he, during the first day of Loden, we kind of were exploring together, and he was like, I'm going to tell you about the lore of the Elephant Room, which is basically Houdini was going to play a show there. I'm not sure if he actually did, but they built this basement space to fit an elephant because he needed to do a disappearing act with an elephant. I don't think they ever actually used it. So there's a gigantic downstairs and there's a secret apartment upstairs that no one's allowed in. It's very haunted, apparently.
It was Belasco's apartment himself.
Correct.
He dressed like a bishop, I guess. Like he was like a real weird man. He wasn't a bishop, but he dressed like one.
I heard there's a lady in a blue dress too who shows up.
Yeah, you might see her. You might see her.
Oh my God, I've got the goosebumps. I can't do it. I can't do it. Ghosts really scare me.
I think my strategy going in is I'm a guest in your house. I respect you. I'm here because you're letting me be here. And that's that. Like, I'm not trying to step on any toes, but I am a little like, I hope you like the show. We've also heard rumors that like David Belasco, he really loved technical theatrics and things like that. And like shows that furthered the craft of theater magic and stuff like that. And so I think hopefully by that metric, he will like our show too and bless it. All recipes for good stuff.
That's yeah. So fun. I have a good feeling. I have a good feeling. Wait, so like in kind of like talking about like the world of Broadway, Broadway lore and whatnot, were there any stars that when you were like growing up, you know, going back to your Rainbow Fish days and beyond, that you were just like, you looked up to so much? I'm just kind of curious about like who kind of shaped your Broadway world from a young age.
Lea Salonga, specifically her as Eponine in the 10th anniversary Les Mis concert was like very, very, very formative for me. But Barbara, I think, come on, Audra, I just, you know, the classics, the divas and everyone, like, I grew up around mega musicals and the Claude Schoenberg and the Webbers, so I just have such a deep appreciation for mega musicals. I know that they can be musical-y and very, very musical if people are not into that, but good thing I'm into that.
Yeah, so. I find that those have, like, some of the most devoted, like fanatic, like, you know, Phantom and Saigon, Les Mis, like people hold a place in their hearts for those types of shows. And also Lea Salonga and Audra are both going to be on Broadway this season too. So you might be rushing
they
shoulders.
Are. They are. And like Megan Hilty and just
Smash.
Speaking Adina. Of Smash. I'm thinking about, yeah, I'm always thinking about Smash. Which is funny because Michael Arden's husband, Andy Mientis, was on the show as well. And like Krista Rodriguez was also a huge influence for me.
We love her.
I just love Broadway. I was always just a fan. And so to get to be able to be a part of a season and be a part of a show that I know 13-year-old Tumblr Helen would have lost their mind around. I'm so excited to like share it with other people.
You're a Tumblr kid?
Of course. Come on.
Yeah.
I have a Scorpio moon.
Does your page still exist somewhere out there? I think mine does, and I'm suddenly realizing I might need to go delete it.
I do. I think mine is out there, but I don't think anything's too egregious on it, actually. I think the only egregiousness was what I was scrolling through. Not even reposting, so.
Right, of course.
Clean on my end.
I know, mine's probably out there too.
I'm panicked suddenly. I remember it was like, right, I was about to come out of the closet, like in those years, my Tumblr was active and one of my friends in college, like I must have sent him my Tumblr or whatever. And like, when I came out to him, I was like, yeah, I know, I've seen your Tumblr. And I was like, yeah.
Oh, that was the giveaway. Anyways.
Yeah, my Tumblr outed me as if everything else didn't before. But
my high school girlfriend and I would talk on like we would like through hashtags would like send little secret messages through like the hashtag. So
wait, that's so funny.
Clearly, it's just a queer kid growing up thing to do, I guess.
Oh my gosh,
that's pretty so amazing.
Funny. Was it a long distance relationship?
No, but she was 2 years older than me. So it became a long distance relationship.
It had to be.
And then it fizzled out because it was long distance.
Tough times.
Yeah. You've given us so much today on this episode of drama, but we are asking you to give us just one more thing. And that is a dose of drama before we say goodbye. All three of us will share the drama that's in our hearts, maybe on our minds. Connor, we'll start with you. I feel like you've got something.
I do. Well, I'm so embarrassed to say this out loud. And by the time this episode comes out, everyone is going to be done with it by now. But I've been binging The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives on Hulu, which is this new reality show, takes place in Salt Lake around this community of Mormon women who are a part of a TikTok friend group where they make content and share about the Mormon culture. They're all like in their early 20s, married with children already. Now, I resisted watching the show for a few weeks because I was like, do I really have enough room in my media diet for something else? And y'all, this show is bonkers. I can't believe that this community of people existed in the United States, and I just like had not known much about them. And I think they really need to pay credit to the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City for paving the way to our interest in Salt Lake. This reality show does, I think, steal a lot of the music cues from the Housewives.
Is it a Bravo show?
It's not. It's on Hulu. I don't know who the producers are, but y'all, it is beyond wild. I mean, the things that these people do for the sake of content, it's a chilling cautionary tale while giving us a look at what it means to be a Mormon in 2024. So I do highly recommend you even just check out the first episode because there are twists and turns galore that you'll never see coming. And it all starts from this soft swinging scandal that broke in 2022, where allegedly a few of the couples in this group of Mormons would swing, aka hook up with each other, in the same room with one another at these parties that they would throw. And it apparently blew up online because they were all already on TikTok. And then now this is following the lives of some of the people who were involved in the scandal and not. So if that didn't hook you.
I know, that was a Mad Libs of things that I never was.
I know.
I'm telling you, the amount of content shoved into this show that's about content is beyond. I can't even begin to describe it. So that's my dose of drama. I think that's it's a bad crazy show. They're all ultimately villains to me, but I cannot get enough. All right. Woo, I'm winded. I feel like I just did a full day of maybe happy ending rehearsal, but Dylan, do you have a dose of drama?
I do. I read the second book by Broadway star Andrew Rannells recently. It's called Uncle of the Year. It is so good. It's the perfect book if you're like traveling, read on a plane, you know, just it's relaxing. It's like sort of like a bunch of essays and stories about his life. And I think we are so lucky to live in the same time as Andrew Rannells. He's so funny and charming, and he's so honest in this book. Like, I absolutely love it. And he's actually also going to be, it was just announced he's returning to Broadway this year in this piece that's going to be at the Hudson. I think it's called All In.
He has a stint up there. Yeah.
He's a stint. Yeah. Heavy hitters are going to be part of it. So I highly recommend that if anybody wants a little theatery reeks, there's lots of good stories, like Broadway stories in there too, in addition to other stuff. But all right. Helen, do you have a dose of drama for us?
I do. I suppose it's kind of because it's spooky season to me. So I, my favorite all-time first spooky season watch is Coraline. It's an oldie, but a goodie. It's a classic for a reason. It's, if anyone is late to it, no time like the present to put that flick on.
Hell yeah. Oh, fun.
I might do that tonight. There's a chill in the air. I need something spooky. Ugh. My first is usually Hocus Pocus every year, but I'm not ready for it yet. Like, I think I'm gonna wait till it's closer to Halloween for that.
Make some cookies, tea.
Yeah. Do you dress up for Halloween, Helen?
I just feel like I embody such spooky time that just limiting myself to one day of it feels limiting and not like my full self. I feel like I embody a bit of spook all year round.
I'm obsessed with that and gremlins. But you're gonna be previewing during Halloween this year, aren't you?
I will be previewing during Halloween, so it's a little bit of a busy time, but maybe I'll dress up as a robot for Halloween.
There you go.
Oh, I can't wait to see your costumes and the show. Oh my god.
Oh, it's really sweet. There's a beret. It's a sweet little beret.
Oh, it's going to be amazing. Oh my God. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. I know that you're probably exhausted with everything else going on, but we are so excited for Maybe Happy Ending. And of course, just to get the chance to meet you.
Thank you so much for speaking with me, y'all. It was so fun.
Yes. And everybody's got to follow you. You're at Helen J. Shen on Instagram. Are you on any other social media platforms you want people to flock to?
Sure. I'm on TikTok. I think it's at miss.shellen. Think, or maybe those dots are underscores. I'm not sure. But
previews begin in October. This will come out probably right around when previews are happening. So everyone will have to grab their tickets to Maybe Happy Ending. And while everyone's following Helen, they've got to follow us. We're at the Drama Podcast. Connor's Connor McDowell. I'm at Dylan McDowell. Thank you again, Helen. This was awesome.
Thank you so much.
And Connor, I will see you next time.
Drama.